Hey friends, happy Monday. Trish having a really great day. Hey, in a moment, I'm going to continue my series on 5 steps to building a real and vital and flourishing relationship with God. I know you have a relationship with God when you get born again, but we've got to practice, you've actually got to build a pattern, a habit of walking with God all the days of your life. I got married when I got married, nearly... I think 23, 24 years ago now. I'm not sure. I'll tell my wife. The year 2000 anyway, so let's say 23 years ago. But it's not enough that I've got a certificate on my wall or in some filing cabinet somewhere. I need to practice being married, staying married, flourishing in a marriage, building a marriage, showing into a marriage. I can't simply run on a covenantal position years ago. So in a moment, we'll jump into that. Let me do a few practicals here first. How you doing? It's really great to be here with you. Just some things that would help as well. Again, if you're on one of our social media channels, like YouTube, really encourage you to hit the subscribe button down there. You can subscribe to our audio podcast as well through all good podcast vendors, if that's the right term, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, all of those good places. There's these daily messages, some of my courses, messages like the one I preached yesterday here in Massachusetts will be online later today. So lots of good things there as well. Hey, I've got an email newsletter, I send it every week. So if you haven't yet signed up for that, go to gjm.org and you could sign up for that there. Some courses on my ministry school, got a missions trip coming up to Ireland, still have places open to that missions trip to Ireland. So yeah, lots of fun things there. I'm going to be ministering in Florida, leaving for Florida this week, and we'll be there for 1 week. I'm going to be at a conference in Sarasota, doing some ministry in Bradenton, and also down in the Miami area. Let me mention as well, I've actually got one evening free if any church or group is interested in hosting me on Tuesday or next week. Forgive me, I don't have the date in front of me for that. But let me see if I can conjure that up here. Calendar. Not calculator. Calendar. Great. So that would be Tuesday the 14th, Valentine's Day. If you're interested, probably going to be Southern Florida, but drop me a line if you're interested in setting something up for them. Boom. Come on. So let's talk about building that relationship. 5 steps to building a relationship with God. And I began on Friday with step number one, and it's such a glorious truth that one, and yet one I think we can miss in a sense, that when I say building a relationship with God, I'm really talking about enjoying a relationship with God. It's in a sense we build it from our perspective because we learn the habits, we bake that into the fabric of our day. But actually, in a very real sense, you've inherited a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. You've stepped into Jesus's relationship with God. So it's not like you build your own. You know, today I could maybe meet a friend and, you know, never met before and begin to build a friendship and a relationship there. But a better analogy really is that we've been born in the family. We've been adopted in the family, but we've actually been born into the family of God, born again into the family of God. And we are literally placed into Jesus's relationship with God. I don't have my own relationship with God. I have Jesus's relationship with God. And that really is step number one. And I really think catching that and letting that be a revelation to you is absolutely life transforming. It really is. So step number two is where I want to go today briefly. I want to talk about what I would call reciprocal of abiding. Step number two is actually living in the invitation and the response of God. You know, if you'll think about it, you weren't looking for God. God was looking for you. Ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden way back when, the Bible says the Lord came and the Lord's walking in the garden looking for Adam. And he literally cries out, Adam, where are you? And for all of your life, God has been crying out, Graham, Susan, Mary, Fred, whatever your name is, where are you? God came looking for you. It's not like you got up one Monday morning once and thought, you know, Monday morning, I think I'll get born again today. Yeah, you probably... somehow God came looking through the means of the gospel. Maybe somebody shared the gospel with you. Maybe you got dragged to a church. For me, it was a Billy Graham meeting in a soccer stadium in England, whatever that was, but he initiated. We love him because he first loved us. And in a sense, there's a real key there to walking with God. And it's simply this, that to abide in the love of God is really the basis of everything. You actually can't get deeper. There was a really great movement in the UK that began really in the 19th century, the 1800s, called the Keswick Movement. And some people would call it the Deeper Life Movement. And many great teachers came out of there. People like Hudson Taylor, people like Smith Wigglesworth were really influenced by that movement. And in a sense, the, you know, like a lot of movements, they got things wrong. But in a sense, what they were saying is, you can't get any deeper than in Christ Jesus. The way you build a deeper spiritual life is not trying to build a deeper spiritual life, but by recognizing what we've already got, who we already are, hallelujah, by enjoying and resting in that relationship with God. In effect, people like Wesley would come and teach that you can have an experience that makes you holy. And for years, people tried to hunt and peck and seek this second work of grace that would make them holy. And in the Keswick movement, people began teaching, no, the cross has already made you holy. And what you need to walk in holiness is a revelation that you are holy. And here's where I want to go real quickly today. I believe God calls you to this reciprocal. He starts, you respond, you respond. This is like Jesus says, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. And this reciprocal place of the love of God, I think we want to live for the rest of our lives. The way we make our Christian life work, step number two in this process, is abiding in the Father's love. And I really want you to catch this one simple truth today, and I'm going to continue tomorrow to teach on this. It's simply this, the way we flourish as Christians is knowing that we are loved by God. Now, in a sense, most of us think, oh, like the way I flourish as a Christian is me loving God. But can I say that you cannot love God until you get a revelation that He loves you? Yeah. And it is absolutely vital that we anchor our souls in how God feels about us, that God's love for us is there, is constant, is real. As I said the other day, you know, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feeding the sheep, or whatever your calling is, really is simply the overflow of you knowing and abiding in your love for Him. You know, real quick, and some of you have heard my testimony before, I was preaching in the 1980s, I was in full-time ministry, traveling as an evangelist, seeing signs, wonders, miracles, people come to Jesus, all sorts of great things. But I was really empty in my soul, and I had no real revelation that God loved me. I had a revelation that God would heal people through me or save people. I knew if I preached Jesus saves, Holy Spirit would save people. I had this great revelation, and it seemed to be quite rare at the time in the UK, that if I would preach loud and clear and bold and strong that Jesus healed people, people would get healed. And if people get healed, you get invitations. And I was the golden boy, except I was the empty boy. And I'd go home at night and just feel empty. And be like, God, where are you? I know you were in that church. I know you showed up. I believe you. But I'm just completely empty. And I ended up wandering away from God. I didn't wander into sin. I wandered away really because of emptiness. You know, and of course you end up in sin when you wander far from God. But sin wasn't the issue. It was emptiness. And one day, a few years later, in the late 90s, Jesus came to me and said three words which utterly changed my life. He said, I love you. And for the first time in my life, I got a revelation of how God felt about me, of His heart towards me, of His disposition towards me. Not that what I had to do, but what He had already done, but also how He saw me, that ongoing place of I love you. And it absolutely changed, transformed, zapped my life. It really turned my life upside down. It's like I got born again. Again, I want to continue in this tomorrow, but where I often go with this story, because it's the truth, is after a while, it's like for a few weeks, maybe about 3 months, I lived in the euphoria, the experience of Jesus saying, I love you. And yet, like all experiences, after a while, it began to diminish and wane, and I became a normal Christian. And I went through a time and a season back in about 1998, 1999, where I was seeking God and said, in effect, I was actually saying, will you come and visit me again? Will you come and appear to me again? Will you come and speak to me in an audible voice? Will you come and tell me you love me again? And God kept speaking to me, and I didn't really like what he was saying. In effect, he said no. He said, go to my word. And he really challenged me one day to make a list of all of the Bible verses in the New Testament that speak about his love for me. And in effect, he was saying, Graham, you want to hear me speak to you about my love for you? Le voilà. This is it. And he said, you can hear me every day. He said, you can have me speak directly to your heart every day. Whenever we open the Bible and read it out loud, you're hearing the voice of God. There's nothing more. If Jesus walked through that wall right now and spoke into this camera, it wouldn't be any more the word of God than this is the word of God. And I began doing that. And frankly, it wasn't so dramatic and enjoyable at first. I'd take verses like Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, 1 John 3:2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God. John 15:9, as the Father loves me, so I love you. Continue in my love. I take those verses and say them and say, this is the truth. This is God speaking to me. This is what I believe. And part of me would be going like, yeah, that's good theology. But I wanted more than theology. I wanted experience that. And of course, what I had to learn, as so many of us do, is the key to experiencing anything is believing God's word. Yeah, Thomas says, in effect, like Thomas the Apostle, if I can feel him, if I can experience him, I'll believe him. In the kingdom of God, it's the other way around. God says, no, if you believe my word, you'll end up experiencing it. And today I live in that place of glorious euphoria about God's love for me, but not because I had a supernatural experience, but because I heard God's word in his Bible. Boom. So again, I want to continue on that. I'm going to talk about the practice of loving God. But step number two in building a relationship is really the practice of him loving you and of you knowing. I'll finish with this, but John said in 1 John 5, he said, we know and we believe the love that God has for us. You see, we need to know about the love that God has for us, but then we need to believe the love God has for us to experience the love. And when we experience it, we then love him back, and then we love others. Yeah, we love him because he first loved us. Selah. Boom. Thanks for watching or listening, guys. Again, hit that subscribe button. Give the bell symbol a press on YouTube. Please share this. Drop me a line. And thanks to all the friends and partners of Graham Jones Ministries. We bless you guys. And speak to you real soon. Bye for now.